Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome to Making Chicken Salad, the Wrestle Radio Australia podcast, where we talk about everything going on around the world of wrestling. I am definitely not associated with the Yakuza, Lachlan Albert, and I'm joined by someone who will not be appearing on Hell in a Cell, Todd Eastman. Todd, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. That is a fact. I shall not be at the cell.
That's so unfortunate.
Your reporting is correct.
I know we're all expecting it, but there you go. Look, I'm right up there with Meltzer with these exclusives, let me tell you.
And as for the Yakuza thing, I can't say that I am or I'm not. I'm just...
All right, well, let's fire it straight off with WWE news. Look, Roman Reigns is not going to be at Hell in a Cell. There's going to be pay-per-views this summer that he is working, but basically Meltzer's reporting that his contract has been reduced. He's going to work fewer house shows, fewer pay-per-views, starting with not being on Hell in a Cell. This seems to be to, you know, give him some time off as top champion, a deal that looks a lot similar to Brock Lesnar's deal with WWE. How do you think this affects Reigns?
Well, it gives him time to recuperate. So that's a good thing. I guess it's a wear and tear thing. When you've got someone who's holding your two main titles, which he is now, having him at every house show, having him at every TV, that would... I guess risk injury every time he's out there. So sort of minimizing that is probably better. From what I read in the report, he will be at like SummerSlam. He will be at the one they're doing in Wales. I can't remember what it's called off the
Clash
top of my head.
Castle.
There you go. He will be at those two and he'll be at the TVs that lead up to those. So I think it's just mainly a lot of the road, the house show things that he won't be at. It does bring an interesting thing though. And behind the scenes, we started recording this and we had to stop and start again. So I mentioned that it's different with, it's going to be, I don't know what the main event for Hell in the Cell will be now. Then you could do Cody and Seth, but they've already had two and Cody's won two. So what do? You have Seth go over in the big one, which really doesn't help Cody's run from the start when you look at it.
You can't really afford to have Seth lose three in a row, but then you also don't want Cody losing the third one.
No. The only thing I can think is you could have Usos RK-Bro unification, but they've advertised that for this week on TV. Whether or not they'll just do a DQ like they always seem to be doing this in at the moment is another thing. But that's when you haven't got...
I believe that match has been announced for SmackDown as an update on what's on here. But... yeah, it would not surprise me to see that match. You know, the idea of a title unification match happening on a random SmackDown in the lead up to Hell in a Cell, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. And we talked about this when we first started recording. The problem that they've got is that they haven't put enough stock in their other champions. So it's not like they can have a Intercontinental title carrier pay-per-view or a US title carrier pay-per-view or even something like the US champion versus the IC champion carrier pay-per-view, because the stock that they put in them, it took me a while when we first started recording this, we first talking about it, to even remember that Ricochet was the IC champion. It took me a while to remember that. Like, I knew it was Austin Theory.
Do you remember who the US champion is? Austin Theory.
Yeah, I knew that, but because I found it strange that they would put Cody up against him so early, but then when you see it was DQ Rama, that's what that was.
Yeah,
but it's going to be very interesting to see what they do.
And I mentioned
you wouldn't even before. I'm guessing they, just off the top of my head now, they're going to go AJ and Edge in the cage. Do you want to see a third one of that?
And also then, you know, the idea is that you're keeping Judgment Day out of it, but isn't the whole idea that they're building Judgment Day as a faction and then you just have Edge go over in a one-on-one? That doesn't build up Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley as important parts of that group, because if Edge can win a one-on-one in the cell, why does he need them? And there's not a lot that makes sense here, really. It's quite frustrating to me, and it's that idea of, like, what am I watching it for, right? Mm. The other thing that I said was, like, maybe we see a women's main event, right? Because you could have Ronda Rousey defend against someone in the cell, but who do you have her defend against? Because it hasn't been built, so it's going to be a short build if that is the main event. Yeah, I don't know. Especially considering, look, let's talk about who she faced over the past couple of title defenses. Charlotte Flair is out with injury, inverted commas. The WWE is claiming she'll be out indefinitely. She's taking time off to get married to Andrade. Now, we know that Charlotte doesn't really have a place in that women's title picture right now. She's just lost two back-to-back matches against Ronda she didn't lose at WrestleMania, but lost in the I Quit match after tapping out while the referee was down at WrestleMania. So you don't really want Charlotte to be in that title picture. It's a convenient time to get her out of there.
Mm.
But you also don't necessarily want her in the mid-card straight away and taking people down because she's Charlotte and you want to keep her strong. Yeah, so it's kind of a convenient time for her to be out and getting married.
Yeah, it is the perfect time for them to do it. If that's the way they've booked it, so they could have her go away for like a month or 2 months, and they probably did a really good job in booking that timeline out. So
yeah, absolutely. And you know, we do have someone to come into the women's division, however, Alexa Bliss returning to action this week on Raw, still with the creepy puppet full of teeth. Do you feel like that's the right call to keep in this gimmick, returning Alexa Bliss?
I mean, like, they kept in it. Like, she came out with it, but there was no supernatural stuff. I mean, it was only a minute, so you couldn't really tell how much it was. But, like, there was no real supernatural stuff. She did all the stuff that she did before with the original Alexa Bliss type thing. So, I mean, I guess it's a wait-and-see thing, where if they start doing all that supernatural shit again, then... Yeah, but if they just move forward where she's got the doll, and that's just a merch thing that they want to sell, and it's still her.
Yeah, but I hate the idea of it just being that she has this creepy doll for no real reason, right?
Yeah.
If they're not going to do the supernatural thing, like, I get that you want to sell the doll as merch, but...
Well, maybe they made a shitload of them. Creepy with it. Maybe they made an absolute shitload of them before she had a break, and then, look, we need to sell these fucking things.
As soon as they're out of the warehouse, they'll take the doll off her.
Just keep them with you for a couple of months, and then we'll get rid of it, okay?
Look, I just hate the doll. It's not... Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a dumb gimmick. I think that Alexa did an incredible job of making it almost make sense, because it doesn't. It's absolute nonsense. It's all based on Bray, who is out. Speaking of, I just want to quickly have a mention of something that's not on here. Let's throw one in here.
Go for it.
Did you see the pricing for the autograph session for Bray Wyatt?
No, I did not. What? How?
No. For formerly known as Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, to autograph one of your items is $99 US for one autograph on an item that you own.
It's actually better than what I thought it was going to be, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but look, he values himself pretty highly. So I know that there's been reports of the reason that he's not signed is that his financial demands are quite high. That would seem to match that, you know, if AEW and Impact aren't looking to spend that kind of money, I don't think you can blame them. And
which is something you never thought you'd hear about AEW.
Yeah, that's exactly right. While we're on that topic, that's also a line that we've heard about Cesaro. People saying that Cesaro's financial demands are out of the range of what people are willing to spend on him. That's why, you know, we have not seen whispers of him showing up anywhere at this point, really. But, you know, he's someone that I wonder if he is looking for those main event numbers. And I wonder if maybe AEW will jump on that after they've used some of the main event programs they've got planned in the near future, and they don't want to invest in someone with that kind of price tag while they've got such a stacked main event scene that they kind of haven't utilized a lot of yet. That'll be interesting.
Maybe they're holding off until the whole ROH thing kicks in, and then like have him as your head as of that, because that would fit. It would fit perfectly for that. I mean
Cassie, I know we're not really come back and take the belt.
Yeah, I know we're not talking about it, but that new logo design for ROH is pants. It is terrible. It is so terrible. I don't know why you wouldn't. And I was talking about this with some of the boys. Why wouldn't, if you just went with that original ROH logo that's on all their belts now?
Anyone listening on audio who hasn't seen it, it's basically the bold letters ROH in a gray rectangle. It's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's sort of going, oh, well, they haven't put any color to it yet, so maybe it'll look different with the color. Even if you put red and black as those colors, it's still not going to look good. It just looks like a generic font. That ROH thing was iconic. I don't know why you wouldn't just leave it at that. The new one I didn't like, but that that old school ROH thing that's on all the belts that they all wear now.
With the filigree, yep.
Why wouldn't you just leave it? That's fine. It's perfect. That's for someone, especially for someone like TK, who was always like, I appreciate the history, and I'm a massive fan, and I'm a, like, that to me flies in the face of that. If you're doing a whole reboot, it was like when the WWE bought WCW and did that WCW logo, that new one with the pointy things on the sides and all of that, that sort of thing. Why would you do that? Go back to the original one that everyone knew and everyone was comfortable with. Sorry, off topic.
Yeah.
But there we go.
No, I absolutely agree. You know, like I try to, you know, not comment on too much stuff that I wouldn't be able to do, you know what I mean? So I don't I don't talk too much about, you know, wrestling being terrible because I can't wrestle. I try not to talk much about logo design because I can't design a logo. I could have designed that logo. I could have downloaded a free font online, stuck a rectangle around it and gone, there's your logo. I think it's not good. Let's talk about AEW, and let's talk about what is currently standing on the card for Double or Nothing. So there's going to be a buy-in match with Hookhausen versus Smart Mark Sterling and Tony Nese. There's going to be a tournament final for the Men's Owen Hart Foundation Tournament and for the Women's Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. We're going to have an AEW Women's World Championship match between Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb. And we're going to have an AEW World Championship match between Hangman Adam Page and CM Punk. What jumps out at you here, Todd?
Well, I mean, you've got the it's really weird because if you've been watching ROH lately, AEW lately, it's sort of like
very different, products, Todd.
It's sort of like Adam Page and CM Punk are both being trained to out-heal each other. Do you know what I mean? Page came out the week before and did like a Healy promo.
Yeah.
And then Punk came out and tried to do a babyface promo that the fans turned on. So he went sort of Healy himself. It's like you got two dudes just like healing out on each other when they're both babyfaces. It's going to be a good match, but it's like, work your shit out. What's going on here? I think that's
it feels to me like, and you put it exactly right, they were positioning it for Punk to be the face and Page to be the heel. And then when Punk started not getting that reception that he wanted, he pivoted live on air type of thing. But it just means that it's kind of, the storytelling isn't clear here.
Yeah. I mean, Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa, that will be hopefully a really good match.
This is what I've been yelling for months. Like,
the thing is, for Thunder Rosa's championship reign, it needs to be a good match.
It needs
I mean, needs to be a good match. It's because it sort of sputtered on the, in my opinion anyway, it sputtered on the start. And it's going to be interesting to go on. I've got one thing, and it's not in the rundown because I forgot to put it in there. There's the two jokers for the Owen Hart tournament.
That's correct.
The rumors are at the moment that it'll be Gargano and Candice LeRae will be the two jokers on each side. Or there was one other one that was a rumor, but I can't remember. I think Cesaro was even a rumor for the other joker. What do you think if it is the Garganos?
Look, I mean, it'd be hard to say that it's not exciting to see the Garganos in AEW. I think that since they've left WWE, it's kind of been a countdown until they show up on AEW in my head, right? because I can see them doing indie shows for a little bit, but the idea that they would turn down AEW and the idea that AEW wouldn't want to have them seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Like, as far as a women's division goes, Candice LeRae is one of the, you know, modern greats of women's wrestling. She has done so much on that world of indie wrestling with a lot of the women who are currently signed to AEW. It feels like a no-brainer. And with the Bucks, you know, and she's someone who's been super kicked with a mouthful of thumbtacks against the Bucks, right? She's worked with a lot of these people in really incredible matchups. And it seems like, again, I've talked nonstop about how it feels like AEW hasn't built much into their women's division. It's the reason that it seemed like we saw Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa for the title a dozen times is because the investment hasn't been there in a lot of the women. It's been that, and they've been, you know, building up their TBS champ. That's it. That's all that they were doing.
Yeah.
So it, for me, I would love to see Candice LeRae. And obviously, Johnny Gargano is going to have amazing matches wherever he goes, right?
Mm.
It seems like a no-brainer that he would fit into AEW and that they would want him. I don't know where he goes in AEW because, again, they have got so much talent on the books and how much of it shows up on every show because there's just a million and one people on that roster, and I don't know where I don't know who gets displaced in order to put Gargano on a show.
Yeah. Like, is Miro injured?
Not as far as I know.
Where's
not there.
Yeah. I don't understand. I appreciate the pivot now that they've done with Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti, because they realized that the fans hated it. But then again, it's like now that they're feuding two heels against each other because Scorpio Sky, where I thought Scorpio Sky was turning face and on Rampage, just turned back even more heel on Kazarian. So I was like, what's going on? Can we have a babyface and a heel, please? Because in the end, it milquetoasts everything because the fans don't know a definite which way to go. So they've got to decide for themselves. And I know what people will say, well, let the fans decide for themselves. That's never been what wrestling's been about. Like, if you're a storyteller, you're telling a story. You don't just go, oh, this guy and this guy had an argument. So you can decide which guy and this guy is going to be the bad guy. That's never been the way. Like, you wouldn't be like, Darth Vader and Ben Kenobi had an argument. You can decide which one of these guys you like. Look,
there's very fine people on both sides of the force. Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying?
100%.
It's sort of like we're supposed to, like, as storytellers, we're supposed to tell the story. Sure, we can pivot in ways that the crowd are like, we don't like this. Cool, we'll pivot this way. But you don't just go, we just decide which ones you guys like, and that's the way. We'll do it this week. And then next week we'll change it that's a bit that I'm finding hard to compute. Other than that, that match on Rampage was really good. Kazarian and Scorpio Sky was a really good match. So there we go. Who is your pick for the Owen Hart finals though?
Look, I think that it's really in a situation where it could go either way. Especially for the men's tournament, right? Like, there's so much talent in that bracket. I mean, there even was before we hit the qualifiers. The fact that immediately we've gone and we had CM Punk win his match, right? Mm. I really don't have a prediction. I think the women's side of the tournament is much more predictable. It seems to me like... You know, I guess it depends on who the Joker is, right? I said CM Punk. I meant Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole beats Jeff Hardy. I'm shocked that they had Jeff Hardy beat Darby Allin at all. And then I think it's either Samoa Joe or the Joker. on the other side, just depending on who wins that match, depending on who the Joker is.
But you know something's going to happen, and that Satnam Singh or Jay Lethal and all that are going to ruin it for Joe.
Yeah. That
unfortunately
seems to be the way it's going to go, which to me indicates the Joker, so maybe Joker Adam Cole. But again, like knowing AEW's booking, it could be Ray Phoenix.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
I really don't know why they didn't somehow work out so Dax went further. Just because everyone knows how much like FTR love the hearts. Hell, he had tights designed. Dax and Cash had those tights designed. That's a nice feel good story. And if you have him lose in the semis to say Adam Cole to go through to the finals, then you've got a story as well. I mean, sure, you got the story of the quarters, but it's really, when you think about it, they call them the qualifiers, where they should have just called that the first round of the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why they did it that way, but I just think it would have been a nicer story for him to go further, especially with the matches he's putting on, because he's not putting on, like, it's not like they go, oh, we're just doing it because it's this. He's been putting on some cracking matches over the journey, and to see, it was disappointing for me anyway, as a massive FTR fan, so there you go.
I also think that, you know, if you're going to have that commitment and put them up against each other, just to throw it out immediately doesn't quite sit right with me, you know?
I really had no problem with them doing that in that first round, Dax and Cash, because it's a cool thing, and that's what their whole thing about, like, TV ratings, they're trying to bump the TV ratings, is to do these matches like that. And being it's a tournament match, they can get away with having them not having a reason to have a match. Like, they've got a reason to have the match.
So for anyone who doesn't know the bracket, especially just over audio, it's going to be the semifinals for the men's is Adam Cole versus Jeff Hardy. Adam Cole beating Dax and Jeff Hardy beating Darby Allin. We'll talk about that match as well in a minute. And then on the other side of the tournament, we've got two more quarterfinals to go. Kyle O'Reilly versus Rey Fénix and Samoa Joe versus whoever the Joker is. And then over in the women's tournament, we've got one semifinal sorted out. It's going to be Toni Storm versus the winner of Britt Baker versus the Joker. And then we've still got Rio versus Ruby Soho and Red Velvet versus no longer Hikaru Shida, but Chris Statlander. So again, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that Shida is out and Statlander's in indicates that maybe Red Velvet is set to win that one. Because if you're subbing in Statlander, then I don't think you have the sub win, just personally.
Well, do you? Because they've done a whole sort of reboot on her, Statlander.
Yeah, but do you think they care about Statlander?
I don't know. Do they care about Red Velvet?
Do they care about women? Anyway, that may be taking it a bit far, but look, yeah, I just don't think that they've got that kind of forethought when it comes to the women's division. I think that regardless of who would have won that match, I think probably Shida may have won it, but then Shida's out, so they just go, have Red Velvet win it. That's the way I think their booking goes. I think we probably see Ruby Soho over Riho. I think that obviously
That already happened, didn't it? That happened on Rampage, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, I am a day behind with the listing I've got. So, Ruby Soho there. So it'll be Ruby Soho versus the winner of Red Velvet Chris Statlander, and then Toni Storm versus the winner of Britt Baker versus Joker. I think that if the Joker is Candace, you have Candace win. I think otherwise it's probably Britt Baker in that one.
It would make sense to move Britt Baker and Toni Storm against each other in some way, shape or form during this tournament, just because of the way they build it up. Toni got a pin on her in a tag match. Yep. So that sort of does make sense. Why don't you talk about the whole Hikaru Shida thing?
Yeah. So basically what's happened is that Tony Schiavone's come out, revealed that look, as a result of the street fight with Serena Deeb, Hikaru Shida is injured, so Chris Statlander is going to be the replacement. So then we hear from Shida, hang on, what? I'm not injured. yeah, tweeted out that she appeared on Makai, which is a music show where she had a choreographed fight. But she's like, apparently I'm injured is what I've been told.
Yeah, and she wrestled four times since. Might have been a
miscommunication, has wrestled four times since, so clearly she's okay. So the question there is whether it's a miscommunication and AEW thought that she was injured when she's not, or if it's a storyline injury that she wasn't informed that she was supposed to be injured.
Which I think is probably more to the point, which is really silly. It's silly that she's tweeted that, where you think you would just ring the office and go, what's going on?
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's silly of the office not to go, okay, this is where we're going with the storyline, just so you know. So it seems to be a breakdown of communication there. I'm not going to throw them off under the bus, which everyone would expect me to do. But
something's going on.
Something's happened there, yeah, because that's weird.
Before we talk about the other thing, I do want to quickly mention Hookhausen versus Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling. Hookhausen's weird, huh?
I know. I will hold my comments off until a certain part of the show that I wish to talk about.
Okay. All right. We'll hear that later. Look, we've got to talk about, I think, what happened during the match as part of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, where Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin were having a match. Huge swanton off a ladder onto tables set up on the outside. Crazy spot, and some people went, you know, if you're going to do a tournament named after Owen Hart, maybe don't televise a massive fall from a huge height to outside of the ring.
When his wife's in the building?
With his wife in the building? Look, for me personally, I think Jeff Hardy is too old to be doing these spots. I think that's, regardless of anything else, Jeff Hardy has put his body through a lot. I want to see the man have a rest. I want to see him chill out for a bit and not do this ridiculous stuff, regardless of other situations. But you can't help but see the parallels of, you know, falling from a great height on a show leading to death, and then you name a tournament after him and have someone fall from a great height. I don't think it's a great look.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't even think of it like that. I just didn't. What I just kept thinking is like, this is so, pardon my French, this is so fucking dumb for a Wednesday.
For a fucking Wednesday.
Do you know what I mean? It's right? A Wednesday. Build that shit up to a pay-per-view. Where are you going to go in a pay-per-view? What's he going to do? Jump out of a plane? Because basically all he's going to be left with by the end of this thing. And it is the difference between, and I know it sounds like I'm just, oh, you're just being a grumpy old man. It is the difference between, it is the difference between when the WWE like look after their guys by saying, you don't do this now, we'll do it where it means something, do it in a pay-per-view where it means something, where they're doing it every week on Dynamite and on Rampage. And then when it comes to the pay-per-view and they do it, well, they've been doing it for the last month. How is this different? Like so far in Dynamite, he's jumped off a massive like part of a building through tables, and now he's done the big ladder bump as well through tables. He might have even done another one that I can't remember right now. And that's the thing: in 3 weeks, are we going to talk about that bump he just took? We're not going to talk about that. Him jumping off the ladder. There's no fucking way.
How long did we spend talking about Cody's flaming table nonsense?
Yeah, and then
we spent a fortnight talking about it, and then it was done because someone else did something else ridiculous.
Meanwhile, we're still talking about him with that spear from Edge, from TLC. Still talking about that because they timed it out. They don't give it away every week. You don't give stuff away every week like that. And I know, again, it's old man thinking, but that's what you do. You work towards the pay-per-view. And I just don't get it. I don't understand why you risk yourself like that. He could have easily landed on like the top edge of one of those chairs and be just done, which is another, could you imagine that look?
Not good at all.
If that had happened, but
and look, I'm going to have my own little old man yells at Cloud moment.
Oof.
If you're going to name a tournament after Owen Hart, maybe Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin is not the match to put on. Because when I think of Owen Hart, I'm not thinking of Swanton bombs and coffin drops. I'm thinking of wrestling.
Yeah, right? True.
And look, respect to Hardy, respect to Darby Allin for what they do. But if I look at the rest of kind of the tournament as we're seeing it, I'm seeing, you know, FTR, I'm seeing Kyle O'Reilly, I'm seeing Samoa Joe, I'm seeing
Bobby Fish. Guys, Bobby Fish.
Let's put those people in, and then instead of having Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin take these ridiculous bumps, you know, like, let's get some of the guys who are out there doing wrestling and put them in the match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have John Silver be in that spot.
Yeah.
Right? Have someone who, you know, is going to benefit from being in a thing that's about wrestling rather than,
like, I completely understand them not having like Bryan Danielson in there, because if he was, they'd have to have him win it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? I completely understand that type of a thing. But why wouldn't you put Brian Pillman Jr. in there? Why wouldn't you do that?
It was exactly the name I knew you were going to come out with, but it's exactly right. Why was Brian Pillman Jr. not in this tournament?
So, well, it's because he's just doing stupid shit at the moment with, like Alexa Bliss Light.
Yep. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, look, we're closing in on the last half of the show, so we've got to cover this before we stop talking about AEW, and it's the MJF situation. Now, MJF has been very open about the fact that his contract is expiring. I believe it's 2023 is the number he keeps saying.
23, 24, and, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. According to a Fightful report on Thursday afternoon, there's some hard feelings between MJF and AEW, and that he's, quote, leaning towards leaving AEW as of now when his deal is up. Apparently, there was a heated discussion in April between him and Tony Khan, where he wasn't happy about his contract situation and the pay scale as of that conversation, and the situation left him soured on many things. The idea of this being a work, question marks, because look, we've seen MJF take everything as a chance to build the gimmick, right? And to me, regardless of how he was feeling, if his contract's coming up, he's making that a storyline. What do you think's going?
No, I completely agree. It's that many years out of it, the coming up to it, I'm not really even, like, if it was next year, might be some validity to it. You've got 3 years to make the guy happy. I know he's a bit, from what I can understand, like, this is like the pay scale and that sort of thing. And you can understand when that guy is pretty much your best heel in this company, and he's probably not getting paid the money that these guys, and to be fair, these guys are proven track record guys, so they should be getting the money they're getting. But if he thinks he's...
And here's the other thing. When he signed his contract, right, he would have been, what, 24, 23?
Yeah, yeah. But you look, everything he's done, and this is not a shot, but it's like he carried Chris Jericho through the worst part of his career. I mean, Chris is a lot better now because he's lost a lot of the weight and he's looking a lot healthier. But when he was doing that stuff with MJF, he was bloated as hell. There was points where we were talking about he couldn't do the lion salt properly because he was like carrying that. Like, MJF literally carried him through that stuff with his
main event programs.
Exactly. And then, like, more than held his own against CM Punk. More than held his own against CM Punk. Should have been probably somewhat positioned already in the title picture if it wasn't for the fact that they've had a Punk come in, a Bryan Danielson come in, all these guys. He would be the guy that you could not deny. This should be the dude that's fighting for the title all the time because he's your biggest heel. He's your best heel. And he's going to be spending the next 3 to 6 months fighting Wardlow and probably putting him over.
Yep.
So I'd probably, if I was him, I'd probably be going, hey, let's renegotiate the terms of this contract because I think I'm worth a lot more than what you're paying me right now.
And I also think that it doesn't hurt him to have that conversation be as out in the open as it is. You know, the fact that we are talking about it makes him a hotter commodity, right?
Yeah. And it's also MJF, the fact that it's also the fact that he does have those ties with Bruce Pritchard through MLW. So he's quite thinking, well, I know Bruce. Bruce loves my work. So we'll see what happens. And doesn't that help for bidding war?
2024 is the end of his contract. 2024.
Yeah. And doesn't that help for a bidding war when you've got two companies that would, and I know the WWF would or WWE would love to run up the numbers to make AEW pay more money than what they'd want to for MJF to keep him. And everything he does just runs that money up more. Everything he does adds more value to him. Like they could try and bury him, and I think he would still talk his way out of being buried.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In saying that, I wonder how he would fit in WWE because he does love to, you know, post about the competition on Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff. That's part of the character. I wonder how he would, how he'd go under the WWE system.
It would be interesting to see if they give him the leeway that apparently they're giving Cody at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because if they did, then that would be great for him and that would get over like gangbusters.
And you can imagine him cutting promos in WWE would be like nothing else. It'd be such a breath of fresh air in terms of what that company has.
It would be like the summer of Punk when he came in. Absolutely. He was doing all that sort of stuff.
Well, look, we've talked a lot about what's going on in the US, but there's a ton going on, especially in Japan. So we want a chance to chat about that. We'll do it right after the break. If you want to keep up to date with what's going on, make sure you're following us on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU, on Facebook at WrestleRadioAustralia, on Instagram at WrestleRadioAU. Get amongst the socials. Make sure you're following us. And we'll be back to talk more right after this. Welcome back to Making Chicken Salad. We've got plenty to talk about coming out of New Japan Pro Wrestling right now. First of all, a four-way IWGP US Heavyweight Championship match with Juice Robinson defeating Will Ospreay, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and John Moxley to become the new champion. This involved Robinson pinning Ospreay with a torture rack into a sit-out slam. Despite Ospreay getting his foot under the rope, ref counted to three. Robinson, new champ, coming along with his joining of Bullet Club after, you know, re-signing while telling everyone that he was gone. What do you think of this new US champion, Juice Robinson?
Well, it's like the fourth time he's won, or third time, there you go. Third time he's won the title. So it's, I'm interested to see, because I haven't really been watching New Japan that much lately. I'm going to start getting into it again because the Super Juniors are up and Robbie will be, Super Juniors, the first night is tonight as we're recording this. So, and that's Robbie will be there all around that. So it'll be good to watch that to see how he goes. I'm interested to see Juice Robinson as a heel, Bullet Club heel. So it's, I'm looking forward to actually catching this show, to be honest with you. It's a US champion. So it's usually someone that's born in or from the US that has that title. So it's a good thing to have him, and to have him put him over guys like Ospreay, Tanahashi, and Moxley, that's a pretty big deal.
It is. And look, I feel like I've liked Juice Robinson for a long time. I think that he's really good. And I think that it seemed like every time he came up, he was coming into his own more and more. And once again, I think this is a great spot for him. I think we're seeing him really grab at what makes him special in joining Bullet Club. I think it's a really, really good fit here. And I think that this is going to be an interesting chapter for the US title over in New Japan. Speaking of, We've got the junior heavyweight division put on notice by Leo Rush. New platinum colored hair showing up in DC and them giving him a welcome home chant. He's specifically called out Takahashi, Ishimori, Robbie Eagles, and others. Is New Japan the right fit for Leo Rush?
Who knows? With Leo, you just don't know. Like, we didn't know that he'd signed a short deal with AEW, so we thought he'd just been let go there. Who knows? He just likes being his own man, so I'm guessing this is probably a short-term deal as well. So
probably. I feel that in New Japan, especially in English, people have the chance to kind of say whatever they want to in some of those post-match interviews. Like, if you look at some of the promos that Kenta was popping off, there's some wild stuff that he was just saying, and I think Leo Rush being able to basically say what he wants without a lot of oversight on that, it's maybe the right thing for him.
Speaking of Kenta, you know, have you seen that on Twitter he's like challenged Punk for that forbidden door, and Punk just straight away said no?
Yeah, he hasn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
He's been talking about wanting to get his hands on Punk for years for, you know, stealing the moves, for stealing the go to sleep, and Punk immediately saying no to it.
But not even expanding on it, just no. There. So
yeah, I think that it's very interesting.
Yeah, I hope it is a thing, and this is how they're starting to build it. But my fear is that it isn't, and he's just gone no. That's my biggest fear.
It's definitely like, because I think the match would just be phenomenal, right?
Yeah, of course, because Kenta knows how to work that WWE-ish style, because he's been trained like through NXT. So, like, it's not a matter of like Punk having to adapt to a Japanese style or Kenta having to adapt to the Western style. Like, Kenta already knows that style, and they could do that perfect amalgamation that they do. And Punk, again, is a great worker, and so is Kenta. So the match itself would be great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the tweet literally just saying no, I think seems to be maybe more work than something legitimate. Yeah, it'll be.
But then you see what Punk's like. You see what Punk's like on his socials, and that might not be a work. That might just seem going no. Do you know what I mean? It's a plausible deniability thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to predict what's going to be on this card, because there's been one match announced and it's technically a crossover match, but it's a lot of guys that we've seen before. You know, it's a fatal four-way for the US Championship with Ospreay. Names are escaping me right now, right?
Is this the Forbidden Door? Collision. Oh, okay.
No, I'm getting mixed up.
Yeah, I think
never
you
mind.
Are.
Never mind. There's too much wrestling in the world. I can't keep it all in my head. Yeah, it's kind of, look, we know that the show's sold out. That's what we know. So they can put on whatever matches they like.
That's very true. That's very true. Oh,
but yeah, let's talk about the rest of the card from New Japan. We had Carl Fredericks beating Ren Narita. We had Team Filthy, that's Filthy Tom Lawler, JR Kratos, West Coast Wrecking Crew, and Danny Limelight, beating Fred Rosser, DKC, David Finlay, Yuya Uemura, Tangaloa, and Chase Owens, defeating Great O'Khan. TMDK beat United Empire, so that's Jonah, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, and Bad Dude Tito, beating Jeff Cobb, Aaron Hanare, and Aussie Open. We've got Brody King beating Minoru Suzuki. We've got Tamahiro Ishii beating Eddie Kingston, and Bullet Club in the form of I can never say this name right.
Hikaleo.
Hikaleo and Jay White beating Okada and Rocky Romero. Any of this in particular jump out at you?
I'm surprised Brody King beat Suzuki. I'm surprised United Empire took as many L's as what they took tonight, that show. I'm actually surprised, because I thought Hikaleo had left with his brothers, with Bullet Club.
I'm not sure on that.
Because I thought he had it. Obviously, he hasn't, because they tagged here. But I would have thought it was just be natural that they all left. But maybe he went with Fale. I haven't kept up.
My thinking was that he was with Farley kind of more.
Yeah, I haven't kept up enough with that. Also, something that surprised me, and as you were reading out the things, I was looking at it, and like David Finlay really has been lost in the shuffle, hasn't he?
Massively.
Juice got the big
10 man?
Yeah, he was in the 10 man with like against Team Filthy. So yeah, it's,
that's wild.
Yeah. But yeah, I look at that card and Bullet Club did well. TMDK, of course, did well because they had the one match and they won it. But what's his name?
How good is it seeing TMDK represented again?
Oh, yeah. But like United Empire, they took L's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like Okan didn't win.
I feel like that version of United Empire is not going to be the strongest one. Obviously, I love Cobb. Hanare doesn't feel like he's a big part of it. You know what I mean? Mm. Obviously, Aussie Open are fantastic, but it feels like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to see all of those combinations as one-on-one and tag matches more than I do the big four-way. You know what I mean?
Like yeah.
Jeff Cobb versus Jonah is a match I want to see. Aussie Open versus Haston Nichols is a match I really want to see. This 4v4 doesn't do as much for me, especially if you don't have kind of the leader in the form of Osprey representing yep. United Empire.
Yep, I understand that. But yeah, it looks, I'm going to try and check this card out as soon as I can to watch it because it looks like it's a fairly decent show.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's on my list with the Super Juniors to watch.
On paper, exciting. Let's talk about maybe the biggest story that's come out of New Japan Pro Wrestling in a while, which is Kota Ibushi. Now, Ibushi is no stranger to just saying things when he feels like it. Let's put it that way. But he's been on Twitter. We've had the tweets translated, but he has basically come out to denounce the higher-ups in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't want to read everything that's been said because there's a lot of back-and-forth tweets with New Japan Brass, and it's all been translated, so it's possible that there's some mistranslations in there.
There were some technical difficulties. And sorry, guys. He's back. The problem is, right, this is some inside baseball right now. He talked for a little while and went completely silent. I couldn't hear him. Whether or not the great internet gods could hear him and it was still recorded, we won't know until I check the footage afterwards and edit this together. But let's just imagine like he didn't. And the last thing I heard you say was Kota Ibushi tends to talk about whatever he wants to on Twitter and all that sort of gimmick.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Go from there, brother.
So, look, I don't want to get too into the weeds of exactly what was tweeted, but Kota Ibushi sent a lot of tweets back and forth with some New Japan Brass. And, you know, I've got translated versions here. I can't say exactly how accurate they are. But a big part of this is that he's talked about sexually harassing bosses in New Japan. He's also
have been sexually harassing him.
Yes.
And not him sexually harassing bosses.
Not the other way around. And also claims of association between New Japan Pro Wrestling and the Japanese Yakuza. Among other things, saying that, you know, he's been around for 18 years and anyone around for that long knows what's going on. Talks about, you know, people from New Japan have been saying, hey, we'd rather you talk to us rather than go public. And he basically said, I sent messages on the LINE messaging app and didn't get a response. So here I am. Pretty wild. What do you think about this, Todd?
I don't know what he's thinking. To be honest with you, I honestly don't know. It's obviously not a work because you wouldn't bring up, if anyone knows Japanese culture, you just don't bring up the Yakuza willy-nilly. And I hope he's not actually in Japan at the moment because he might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, and he's, you know, said, it's fine if you just fire me. I don't care, is something that he said. So this is, you know, pretty significant to say the least. I think that you know, if we look back at what happened with the formation of AEW, again, if we want to talk about Golden Lovers, as far as that goes, we heard from Omega that he didn't ask Kota Ibushi to join AEW because he felt that Kota would say yes, and he didn't want Ibushi to miss his chance to become the top of NJPW, which was Ibushi's dream. Mm-hmm. Ibushi's been there. He's been at the top of the mountain. He unified the titles for New Japan. So to me, it would not surprise me if we saw him on AEW shores, if he's, you know, decided that he doesn't want to associate with New Japan anymore based on all of this stuff.
Yeah.
That wouldn't
surprise me. But what does that do for their working relationship with New Japan, AEWs?
A great question. It's one person,
mm.
you know, one bit of talent, but he's also making very big claims, you know. And one of the lines was about, you know, if something's black, and that's a Japanese thing, a black company is one that is, you know, handled in an unprofessional way, doing illegal things. And he's talked about a company that, you know, once it's black, it's black. So I can't imagine that New Japan will want to deal with Ibushi much after this at all.
Mm. It's going to be very interesting going forward about that sort of thing. So I just don't know. I don't know. Like, I'll be honest with you, and this is like, I can't imagine too many massive companies in Japan not in some way, shape, or form have some sort of ties just because of how big, apparently, that organization is over there and how intertwined it is in business. I can't imagine that there's too many that aren't in some way, shape, or form tied in. But and who knows? Like, we don't know. Look, nobody knows.
Yakuza, yeah, they know. It's very different to kind of organized crime in other parts of the world, because the Yakuza is, well, you know, still not public because they are a criminal organization. A lot of the time they're seen by the public as an organization that is the respectful version of crime. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. people think of them as keeping the like bad and disrespectful crime out of cities. So a lot of the time people do work with the Yakuza because they've got those positive connotations there. So it is, you know, it's not the same as saying, like, you know, if all of a sudden we heard from a wrestler that AEW has mafia connections or something like that, it's not quite the same situation. Yeah, I think this is really one where it'll be a wait and see, because again, everything we're getting is translated. So, you know, we can get versions of it that make the most sense we can get, but we're not going to know the cultural connotations that come with some of the things that are said. We're not going to know that the translations we're getting are exactly correct and not missing some of the nuance there. Mm-hmm. But Kota Ibushi has come out and basically said, look, if you want to fire me, fire me. I'm happy to get it over with quickly. So I personally don't see Ibushi getting in a New Japan ring anytime soon, which is sad, because I think that he has to be remembered as one of the all-time greats for the company.
Yeah, but will he now because of this? Will they just blacklist him and not talk about him, which is going to be hard for them because he was their inaugural world undisputed, or whatever they call it, the world heavyweight champion, or...
Yeah, the whatever the unified version of the the IWGP and the Intercontinental.
And this is why they should never have changed that opening video at the start of title matches.
But that's exactly what I was going to say. Before every match, they play all of the previous champions. So if they want to keep doing that, they can't avoid mentioning Ibushi.
Mm. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Look, with that, I think it's time to go to our main event and talk about chicken salad and chicken
shit. Whoa. Don't try and dodge this.
I'm not trying to dodge it. You didn't put anything in the run sheet. I assumed you hadn't worked it out yet.
Oh, I worked it out, brother. I won.
Here we go.
That's debatable. I won. 75% of the vote. It's almost like they wanted you to do this. So
this stinks to high heaven, Todd. I don't trust your count.
You can not trust it all you want, brother. 75%. 75%. So if you check your messenger right now.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Here comes your punishment.
All right. Juggalo Championship Wrestling. And Todd, you've given me a lovely little ta-da.
I thought you'd like
so, that. So, you know, a little bit of, Todd.
Yeah, mate.
I got a life, you know. I do a lot of stuff. I'm literally going to have to schedule this. I'm going to have to get my calendar
schedule away.
And schedule in a time to watch what I understand to be one of the worst wrestling shows of all time.
How dare you, sir?
But and yes. I'm really, really not looking forward to it. I'm really not. So there you go. To everyone who voted and, you know, clearly didn't listen to the arguments because I was far more compelling. Clearly just wanted to see me get punished. Yeah. Wanted to see me get punished.
I'm just going to let people know, okay, this was filmed in 2011. And the card, well, I won't say the card, but I'll just tell you who's on it, okay? Bob Backlund's on there. Big Daddy V, Carlito, Cowboy Bob Orton, Matt Osborne as Doink, Dirty Dutch Mantel, Greg the Hammer Valentine's, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, The Hangbaggers, Honky Tonk Man, Jimmy Snooker, Road Dog, Kevin Nash is on there, so there you go, mate. Coco Beware, Ken Patera, The Powers of Pain, Raven, Scott Hall, Rhino, Rikishi, Rob Conway, Rock and Roll Express, Ronnie Garvin, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Tito Santana, Vampiro, Wildfire, Tommy Rich, and X-Pac.
God, Vampiro's on it.
So, hey, you liked
Vampiro Lucha Underground. Vampiro wasn't good at WCW.
You liked Lucha Underground. There's Vampiro.
I loved Lucha Underground. I loved Lucha Underground. The whole Vampiro sum total of work was getting bashed by Penta. That's...
They even paid for Bill Apter to be the backstage reporter. So, I mean, come on. I think Mick Foley does the commentary on it too.
My chicken shit for the week is that I've got to watch JCW Icons and Legends.
Well, you know what, mate? If you hadn't have fucked around and gave me Rhodes fucking a shot of brandy, then I wouldn't have dug this deep. But you went nuclear, so I had to fire back.
You know what? If I have to watch this to have forced you to watch that, it will have been worth it.
Yeah. The problem is I'm going to have to watch it as well. I know I am, just to be able to know what you're talking about.
No, you don't. You don't. Save it up for when we fire back or when I win. That's debatable. It's fine. look, all right. With that, let's talk chicken shit. What have you got, Todd?
Hang on, I've got to pull it up because I was too busy reading the other thing and laughing at the time.
Too busy talking shit about your juggalos there.
okay, my chicken salad for this week, just a couple of matches. Jungle Boy and Ricky Starks. I really liked that match. That was good. Cody and Seth at Backlash. And also that main event, Bloodline and RKMC Bro, was a really good match. I wasn't overly a fan of the finish because you pretty much took McIntyre out as a challenger when you did that sort of thing with the finish of it, but the match itself was really, really good. Jungle Boy, going back to Jungle Boy and Starks, that's two guys that you'll see in the future having bangers for AEW. That's another key indicator that they've got really good workers. They've just got to put them in those positions to succeed. Also, I didn't write it down, but when we talked about it during the show, Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian, a really good match as well. So there you go. For those of you that say I shit on AEW all the time, two of my chicken salads, two matches there. So there you go. Go on, mate. Your chicken salad.
My chicken salad for the week is I don't watch a whole lot of Impact, but sometimes it just delivers. And Josh Alexander versus Ishii. Okay. They beat the shit out of each other, man. That was a good match. That was a barn burner. Check out the main event of I want to say it was like Under Siege or whatever the most recent Impact event was.
Was Steven Seagal the special referee? Because if he wasn't, very disappointed.
Now I don't believe that he was, Todd. I'm sorry to say, but you know,
disappointed.
Sometimes we have to, you know, it was maybe a 4.5-star match, and that would have been the thing that made it 5. You know,
yeah.
I also want to mention, and I don't have the exact list in front of me, but they've announced, I believe it's a 5-way for the Impact Women's Championship that looks kind of insane coming up. So I'm chicken salad for them, you know, really caring about their women's division, even as, you know, Impact's women's division has always been really strong. So having that there, I think, is really exciting.
Also, I don't know what category this falls in, but I heard on the latest taping that Aces and Eights are back in some form. It was like D'Lo, Garrett Bischoff, and Wes Briscoe
as a tag. I couldn't tell you anything about that, but
it was something I saw when I was looking for stories to curate for the show, and I found that interesting. Look,
what I can tell you is, did you hear who the new tag team champions are?
No.
That's the Briscoes have now got the belts in Impact.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do remember seeing that.
Yeah, that's good. So, look, I don't watch a whole lot of Impact, but I think they actually do a lot of really good work, and it is worth following what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for a chicken salad too, I'll put over our own stuff that we've done. The Wide Bay Pro Show that's up on YouTube at the moment. If you get a chance, please do check it out.
I try to avoid putting, you know, the stuff that we're involved with here locally as chicken salad, but Fight Back is one of the best shows that I've been at. I loved it. I had a great time, and I really do encourage people to go check it out. I think it was really good.
Yeah, awesome. Yes, but please do. Thank you. Go on, let's go into the shit,
Todd. Fire away.
We talked about it during the show, Darby Allin and Hardy. It's not a match that should be on, like I say, a fucking Wednesday. I should get a shirt made. Why did you do that on a fucking Wednesday? Because it makes no sense to me. Other ones too. Danhausen versus Tony Nese.
Here we go.
You've put Danhausen on your TV for the past, I don't know how long. You've got him over with the crowd, and then this guy just melted him in 30 seconds. Tony Nese. Danhausen can wrestle. Danhausen is a decent wrestler. He's a lot better than the guy that they've got him tagging with, like Hook. And
Not disrespect to Hook.
Disrespecting Hook at all. But Danhausen can work. And you basically squashed him in 5 seconds to Tony Nese, who, let's face it, Tony Nese has the charisma of the color beige. And, like, the fact that they're having a tag match with him and Mark Sterling against Danhausen and Hook, although, like Mark Sterling is a wrestler, you're basically making Danhausen a manager-type wrestler. And he is not that. He is so much better than that. And that I found was a bit blah. Also, this past Raw, look, the last couple of weeks of Raw and SmackDown have been really good, like match-wise, really good. But just DQ Mania is what they should have called that episode of Raw. Somebody did a thing on it. There was more DQs in that episode of Raw than there has been in the entire history of Dynamite and Rampage combined. So that goes to tell you something about that. And my last chicken shit, I've had a few this one. My last chicken shit is the rumors that Ric Flair is training to wrestle again. Like, the guy is 73. Please don't book him. He's 73 with a pacemaker. Don't do it. Please don't do it. I think it's dangerous. Any company that puts him on a card.
Did you see the video of him wrestling
Jay Lethal?
Jay Lethal.
Yeah, training. Yeah. Yeah. He was like, he was running in mud.
It was so like slow and visibly old.
Yeah. Like, it was cool. Oh, look, he was doing it. But then, like, would I pay money to see that if I didn't, like, if that wasn't Ric Flair and it was just a guy? Would you pay money to see that? And I think the answer is no. And it's not even that. I just think it's dangerous. It's very dangerous having a 73-year-old man getting in there trying to do the stuff. And if anything, I think it would be sad to watch it for more than a minute and a half.
Yep.
There's my chicken shits. I'm sorry I landed on that, but like, I know the whole the allegations and all that with Plane Ride from Hell and all of that, but the Four Horsemen and Arn Anderson especially are my favorite things ever in wrestling, and Ric Flair is a big part of that. And to see him not being able to let go, as much as I kind of understand it from a wrestling standpoint, because once you're in it, you don't want to let go. There just comes a time when you have to, and I think the decision needs to be taken out of his hands about it, to be perfectly honest.
What was your line about, I don't want him in a ring, I don't want him near a ring, keep him away from a jewelry shop so he can't buy a ring, put his phone on silent.
Yes.
I think that's, you know, the best that we can say. Just quickly, I did find the details of that match that's coming up in Impact. Is going to be at Slammiversary, is a Queen of the Mountain match, which not a match format that I love, yeah. But an interesting match is going to be between Tasha Steelz, Chelsea Green, Deonna Purrazzo, Jordan Grace, and Mia Yim. That's a hell of a lineup for a big match. So I think
it's good to see Mia Yim back too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that could, you know, genuinely be excellent.
Yeah. So your chicken shits, mate.
My chicken shit, well, first off, is the fact that I've got to watch bloody JCW. Juggalos, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm going to continue to complain about it. No, look, honestly, I think my chicken shit for the week is what we talked about with Roman Reigns. Not having your champion on the card, I complain about it every time it happens, you know. I was complaining about it when Lesnar wasn't on the cards to defend his title, so I'm going to complain about it when... you know,
but if he's just missing this one pay-per-view, is it that bad?
That's the problem, is I don't think it's going to be the one.
Okay.
I really don't, you know?
Because it's been advertised he will be at, like, SummerSlam. He will be at the other. So he's going to be at the other pay-per-views. It's just this one.
And Lesnar was at the big pay-per-views as well.
Yeah.
Fair. Right? If this is the new deal we're seeing, then I would expect SummerSlam. I would expect the big UK pay-per-view that they're doing. I'd expect those ones. But then after that, when's the next one that he's at? Is it then Survivor Series and then Royal Rumble? Like, how many pay-per-views are we going without seeing the title defended? That's a big one for me. The other one that I want to jump on, and this has been kind of simmering in the back of my mind for a little while and then kind of seeing it on TV, frustrated me, is the treatment of Shayna Baszler at the moment. Losing tag team matches with Natty, you know, she's losing these tag matches while Natalya is off beating Cora Jade in NXT. So what does that mean about Shayna Baszler, right?
Yeah.
And every time it seems like she's in a position to be something important, something strong, you know, we had her in the Rumble putting on a good performance, and that we could have had a moment with Ronda, and then we didn't really. You know what I mean? It's just like, I feel like we're being left in the lurch as far as Shayna Baszler goes, and we shouldn't be, because she's amazing. So that's another chicken shit for me. I do want to close it out with one more chicken salad, though, that I've just remembered, and that's my favorite person in wrestling, MJF's mother, who showed up for an AEW sign, with a picture of MJF on a sign that said, "This guy didn't call me on Mother's Day." Just wonderful. But with that, look, that's going to be us here at Making Chicken Salads. So make sure you're following us. Wrestle Radio Australia on Facebook, over on Instagram and Twitter. You can get it at Wrestle Radio AU. You can follow me at Lachlan Albert. You can follow Todd at Beast Eastman. And you can make sure you subscribe to the podcast. It's free, whether that's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get the podcast, hit that subscribe button. It makes a big difference. Also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please do give us a review. If you hit that 5 stars, gets us in more ears, makes a big difference. And hey, jump on over to Redbubble, search for Wrestle Radio Australia. You'll find some merch there, and all of that merch, all of that money that comes off that goes to supporting two amazing men's mental health charities here in Australia, Gotcha for Life and Beyond Blue. So those are some amazing things. You know, hopefully we don't see those designs stolen as some of Todd's designs have been recently, but that's neither here nor there. Anything else you have to lay in, Todd?
A bit of local wrestling stuff. Pro Wrestling League, if you're up in Brisbane, Pro Wrestling League is at the Kedron Wavell on May the 28th. Big main event with my boy Mitch Ryder, taking on AJ Istria for the Pro Wrestling League title. So that would be a good match. If you want to see the future of Queensland wrestling, a lot of that will be in that on that show. It'll be a really, really good show. I cannot wait for it. So that's about it. Also, my boys, Tim Hayden and Sonnen Blackwell will also be on that show as well. So get around
them. Yeah, again, trying not too much to just get into the local stuff here, but top tier Toddy's faction there are doing really good work. Solomon, someone I've spoken a lot positively about for a young kid. He may be the future of Australian wrestling. So if you're
not in my faction, we're a team.
Sorry. The faction Todd is in.
There we go.
So yeah, check out Pro League if you're there. And hey, also head on over to twitch.tv/VaultGamesLive and shoot that a follow. Because I'm promoting this here so I can promo, you know, this there and that.
Yeah.
However you say it.
It's a quid pro quo thing.
Quid pro quo. So look, with that, that's been Todd Eastman. I've been Lachlan Albert. Until next time, have a good one.